Hey y'all, it's your best friends, We Have Thoughts. We're a podcast about movies. I'm Crystal.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Joy.
And we're talking about this year's Best Picture nominees, Best Oscar. See, already messed it up. Yeah!
Conversations with Oscar.
Ay Dios. Okay, today we're talking about Nightmare Alley, along with Best Picture. It's nominated for production design, costume design, and cinematography. What did we think of Nightmare Alley?
I had nightmares.
Did you really?
In an alley.
No. I really liked it.
Really? Okay.
I did.
Why did I know that? I feel like I knew that you would. Content-wise.
I love a good film noir. I don't know. I just thought I didn't know what to expect going into it. I had no idea what the story was about. I vaguely knew it was carnival-esque because my sister had mentioned something, but really had no idea. And I really enjoyed it. I had a good time.
Nice.
Anybody else?
Crystal, go.
No, Joy. I talked first. Okay. That's your turn.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I liked it. I thought it was good. I think now that I've seen, I feel like this movie, very similar as I felt with Guillermo del Toro's last film, Shape of Water. I was like, oh, this is good. This is good. It's not the most amazing thing I've ever seen, but it's good. And, like, visually, it's very interesting. It makes some really interesting choices. One of the first shots when Bradley Cooper is walking away from the house that's on fire references a painting where there's a house on a hill, and there's with the hill coming down, and there's, like, a lady, like, reaching out for the house. And it's very similar lighting and all of that. Yes, Crystal?
It's cool that you mentioned that painting because they referenced that in a... I'm Thinking of Ending Things. So.
Oh, I still need to see that.
If you haven't seen that movie, I would suggest watching that.
And reading the book.
Yeah, okay.
I definitely, real quick, sorry. I read that book and I picked up something completely different than I did in the movie. So now I can't wait to go back and watch it and be like, was I stupid and I completely missed this?
Interesting. Okay.
Wait a minute. Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it was in there.
There's so many levels, like,
damn.
It definitely requires, I mean, I've only seen it one time, but I think the movie requires several viewings.
Yeah.
Because there's so many thoughts, so many things happening. It's visually interesting. It's not about this movie, but whatever. We'll talk about it. I'm Thinking of Ending Things is very, it's like a Rubik's Cube of stuff.
When I come back for the Oscars, that'll be something for us to watch.
Nightmare Alley. I feel similar to what y'all said. It's good. Similar to Shape of Water, like aesthetically very, it has the same color palette to me. Yeah,
for sure.
Where it's bright, but it's also muted at the same time. If that makes any sense. I don't know about
it's color. It's like high contrast. It's very film noir where the black is really black. It's really dark. And the white is very bright and blinding.
I got it. Yeah, I get the same thing from The Shape of Water. It's like, The Shape of Water was technically really great. Was it my favorite movie? No. But what everyone was doing acting-wise, what they were given, they did a good job in. So, so I guess movies are just going to be 2 hours long forever in our lives.
Okay, that's something that I wanted to bring up. Because between this one... And what was the other one that wasted my time? Don't Look Up.
Oh, yeah. Licorice Pizza did 92 hours either, but whatever.
Yeah, it was like 2:13. I'm like, okay, guys, have we never met an editor? Have we never met like a script editor or like a shot editor? Or because like, yes, some stories, for example, Drive My Car was worthy of being 3 hours long. Some stories can be told with the same amount of impact in less than two hours or less. This was not necessary. Crystal.
I have a feeling it's kind of like, because back in the day, movies had to be shorter so they could...
Can I help you?
Wait till you're done. Because back in the day.
Oh, it's loud? I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Movies had to be long or shorter so that way they could have as many showings as possible to make the most money. Well, people don't go to the movies as much anymore. And so it's not as. They want to make it more of an experience. I want to sit there longer and be in their seats longer. And so that's another reason why they're a little bit longer. Movie as long as it makes sense. And this Nightmare Alley was okay. I'll allow it a little bit. So it takes some getting used to apparently for me. I forgot to mention this, but Licorice Pizza did not need 2 hours. That was stupid. Especially because it's white people vibing, like I said. But Nightmare Alley, in a sense, you understand, he comes from this, and he meets these people, and they influence him to be this, and so it makes sense. I don't know, I feel like I don't have a lot of things to say about this movie. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't my favorite. It looked really great, the set design.
Yes.
So beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I found myself just really drawn to all the textures and the colors. Everything was so rich and vibrant. I loved also just how different different sets felt. Cate Blanchett's office, I wanted to spend hours in each location just looking at everything. I loved the ashtray in her office. I want one, even though I have no reason for it. I was like, you are beautiful. Please be by my
Cate Blanchett or the cigarette thing?
Both. Can I have them both in my home, please?
Fair. I love her. She's phenomenal.
She's so great.
Except with this voice that she put on in this film, I kept hearing Lord of the Rings. I kept hearing her character in there. If she would have just spoken a little softer and slower, it's there. I loved the opening sequence of him pulling the box. I thought it was just a beautiful, it felt like one long shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then those almost 12 minutes before Bradley Cooper spoke, I felt like you got to know him a lot without him opening his mouth. And I enjoyed that. The costumes, I also wanted to touch all the costumes because they were so beautiful and so well done. Texturally and visually, this movie was a treat.
I wanted to touch everything, same.
Yeah. Yeah. Just I wanted to feel it all.
It was so dynamic, and because it's a film noir, to be able to do that, because you're interestingly, it does have a lot of color for something that is influenced by a time period where it was mostly those film noirs were in black and white. But even with the color, there was still a darkness to it. There was still a high contrast to it. And it was just, for the eyes, the story was good. It probably needed to be a little bit tighter on the script. But visually, I think that kind of makes up for it. I feel like that's also how I felt about Shape of Water. Story wise, could have done. Could have gotten a little bit extra help, but visually it was correct.
I forgot what I was gonna say. Oh no. Oh, I'm sorry. I remember. They also released this film in black and white.
I would be interested to see that.
And because it's so well lit, and I would imagine they didn't change things when they were making it black and white, so all those costumes had to work for both the black and white and the color.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so interesting, and there were so many shots where I was like, ooh, this would be so good in black and white. The shadows, I was like, I can see how effective this would be if it were in black and white. So if I do ever rewatch this, I definitely want to rewatch it in the black and white, because I think it would also be just as visually interesting. Yeah, bravo.
I wonder, I love a lot of these people. I love Cate Blanchett. She is just a vision. I love her. Bradley Cooper, he's fine. I don't have an issue with him. Toni Collette is, whatever she does, she's amazing. It doesn't matter.
I love her.
Rooney Mara is fine, I guess. She has two emotions. Whatever. But Theo, I love you, but you need to be putting people of color in your films. Like, it's getting ridiculous. And not people who are on the sidelines like Octavia Spencer. Like, people who are the lead.
Yeah.
Need to be, like, there's no excuse anymore. You have the clout. You have the merit.
You have the Oscars.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, you have the credentials to do this, and you're not. Like, not even the side characters. There was that one black man who was in the circus and has no lines. He's in the background. I don't understand.
Can suspend disbelief in the age difference of Alana and Cooper Hoffman, they can also suspend disbelief that a black man was running a circus in the 30s.
That's what we said before in the last episode. People of color didn't exist like 10 years ago, right? So, like, no. It's so crazy to think they'd be there in the 40s. Oh my God, crazy time.
I
believe that people of color would have been put on for show in the circus.
Yikes.
Know what I'm saying? Like, it's the truth.
Yeah.
I guarantee, not just drunks and druggies who were made as the geek, like, definitely some people of color would have been up in that show, and not for the good reasons.
Yeah. But historically, there's evidence of a lot of that. Exactly. And that's how circuses started, really. So
I will say I really loved Bradley Cooper's hair in this, especially in the beginning. I thought,
this makes so fine.
With those baby blues, I was like, yes, girl.
Jesus Mary.
It's a film noir, but all you see is Bradley Cooper's sparkling eyeballs.
But also what I love about noirs is they're so sensual, and, like, everything is very, like, there's a layer of sexual tension to it all. And it was delicious. I just ate it up. But when he said, "I draw what's on my mind," I was like, ugh, swoon. Excuse me, sir. Am I on your mind? Can you draw me? Draw me in your bathtub.
Like one of your French girls, right?
Like one of the French girls.
The thing about that is that I agree with that, because Bradley Cooper kind of exudes that type of energy. But to me, that only worked when he was with Toni Collette and with Kate Blanchett, not with Rooney Mara. It felt very
No, for sure.
And I don't know if that was the point or she's just not a great actress. I can never tell with her. But, like, there's the scenes where he's like, "Let's run away." And he, like, in his eyes, you can tell he's, like, excited. And she's kind of like, "Yeah, I want to run away with you."
I think it's purposeful, because it's supposed
like
to be
every movie, though. Like, what is her deal?
I'm not saying this in favor of Rooney Mara. I'm saying it because, like, the sexual nature of Cate Blanchett and Toni Collette, like, they draw him out and they draw him into.
They
Cate Blanchett, like, literally was like a slithering little snake gathering him. Like,
love that for me.
And Rooney Mara was the safe choice. She was the safe, sturdy, good girl that you marry. Cate Blanchett and Toni Collette are not the girls you marry.
For once, I want Rooney Mara to play a character who you want to marry, so I can see another side of her. I feel like she's just kind of like this. She's very monotone in everything she does.
Yeah. Both Mara sisters are nothing to get excited about, in my opinion.
Every time I think about the Mara sisters, I think of that line in Kimmy Schmidt, where she's like, where Jane Krakowski's like, all Hollywood wants is, like, rich white kid. The Mara sisters, Armie Hammer. Who else did she say?
Nepotism kid.
The girls from the cast of Girls.
Yeah.
Same shit. Like, anyways, whatever. Joy.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I was like, oh my God, is that an emotion I see in Rooney Mara's face? Like, I was like, oh, but now that I think about it, it wasn't an emotion. It was that she raised her voice. Like, that's all it was.
Like that whole scene in the bathroom where she's like, I can't go with you. Like, she's on the other side of the door, and I feel no emotion towards her at all.
Like, no passion.
Bradley Cooper's given it. He's like, come on, just one. Like, I need you. I can do this without you, blah, 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 blah. And he's, like, telling God, like, mind your own business. Like, he's doing all the work, and she's kind of like,
You know what? I'd be really interested to watch her Girl with the Dragon Tattoo movie, because from what I've seen from reviews, I've heard that that's her best performance. A lot of people said she was great in Carol. I mean, Carol was great in Carol. Cate Blanchett was great in Carol. But, like, Rooney Mara.
I didn't like her Carol either.
Rooney Mara was fine. But it was Cate Blanchett doing all the work in Carol, which is why we love Carol. But I would be really interested to watch Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. But have you guys either? Have you seen it?
Have you seen the Swedish versions with Rumi Rapace?
No, I haven't. I've heard those are better.
I've seen those, and those are fantastic. But Elizabeth, I think that's her name, Elizabeth, or
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, something like that, yeah. She's not a outwardly feeling character, so that is Rooney Mara. Like, she didn't have to express much emotion. Like, even her anger is very, like, controlled internal. And centered and internal. Yeah, so it's not like you'd be seeing much of a difference from anything else.
Well, no wonder she was so good in it. She was playing herself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was her breakout role, right?
I believe so.
No one knew she was born beforehand, so no. Okay, so now it's the same shit. Got it. All right. Got it. Okay. Understood. Now I know. I thought this was going to be scary. Like, I thought it was going to be like a horror movie. Like, Nightmare Alley sounds like it'd be like creepy. And I was like, this is not scary at all.
Yeah, I was ready.
I don't know why I thought it was going to be scary. Although that baby in the jar creeped me out so bad. I did not like that.
What was in his forehead? Was there something in his head?
It was an eye.
Yikes. Ew.
Because he said it followed you around.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And it did.
I loved the through lines throughout this film, like the clock, the ticking of his watch. The first time I noticed it was when he took it off, of course, but when I wrote it down. The faint ticking when he lights the cigarette and it's brought into view, like you can hear it then, and the few times it's brought back, I thought that was really great. I also really loved the through line of the hanged man. I thought that was really
the card.
Yeah. And then seeing him be the hanged man in the train car was really great. I really appreciated that.
There was that
one critique.
There was that one shot where Rooney Mara goes back to her cabin, train car, whatever it is. And the light when coming through the window, I thought was really beautiful. After their carousel moment, she runs back and she's like smiling out the window or whatever. But I really loved the framing of that shot, the light coming through with like the colors of it. I just thought it was beautiful.
Anna, are you going to read the novel it's based on from 1946?
I don't know. Maybe. I did read that while it's similar to the original adaptation of the movie, Guillermo del Toro specifically readapted the novel and not the screenplay.
Okay.
So that I am kind of interested in. And I was looking through the pictures of the original movie, and there's definitely a lot of similarities. But I don't know, maybe it'll make my list. I am currently reading, I'm almost done with The Lost Daughter. I'm like a couple chapters. Nice. Away. So I can't wait to talk about that. But yeah, I'll look into it. I don't think I've read a book that old in a while.
Okay.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Plot question. Did I miss it, or did Kate Blanchett kind of explain why she did what she did?
I don't remember her explaining it. Did she?
I don't think she did.
Or was it just part of the game for her, too? Like, it was part of the game for him, and it was also her game. That's what I thought, but I was like,
I'm just bored. I did it because I was bored.
I kind of thought maybe Ezra was the one that hurt her and, like, scarred her.
Right.
It's kind of I picked up. So, like, she was kind of wanting the revenge on him, but also playing, one-upping and playing into Bradley Cooper's hand. Like, Bradley Cooper played into her hand, and I thought that was kind of her motivation for it all. But
she was like, I'm taking one man down, might as well take another one, because I'm at it, you know?
Because I'm Kate Blanchett and I'm amazing.
Go ahead, girl. Go ahead. Yes, love we love that. It.
Burn it all down.
Love to see it.
You're doing amazing, sweetie.
Also, like, there was just a lot of gross moments through this film, and, like, his ear hanging off was very visceral for me. I was like, ooh.
I didn't look at that.
Also, the chicken.
Oh, that was.
Nope,
that's
I didn't look
was?
At all. Nope.
Oh, the chicken. I did see the chicken. I was going to look away, and then I was like, oh, it's too late. I'm seeing a chicken.
Joy never looks away. When we used to watch things together, I'm like, Joy, don't look. Joy, don't look. Joy, don't look.
Oh, there must be a reason for that, but I'm too tired to get into that right now.
Let's unpack that.
No, ma'am. I got a lot of therapy ahead of me. I'll do that later.
Oh my God. Any last notes?
Cinematography, fabulous, talented, beautiful.
Oh, we're gonna go through amazing. the rankings. I mean, not the rankings, the categories.
The categories. Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
I saw this review on Letterboxd by a mutual Letterboxd person. I totally let Kate Blanchett destroy me, and then I'd thank her, which is the correct response.
I feel like that version of a compliment, or that version of a comment, on every Kate Blanchett movie ever on Letterboxd.
Yeah, because that's correct.
So the categories, best picture.
Oh, it's a big one. Sure. Yeah.
I feel
it's fine. I feel like other ones could have been here.
I feel like this could have easily been looked over had it been by any other director, but because it was Guillermo del Toro, they were like, oh, he's won before. We're going to watch his movie. Oh, we liked it. And it's got everyone, it's got big names.
Big names, yeah.
I enjoyed it, but I think this could have very easily been overlooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And nobody would have been any the wiser.
Right. Mm-hmm. Next one.
What's next? Production design?
I agree it should be there, for sure.
I agree, too.
So, okay.
That's one of the best parts about it.
It's between Dune, Nightmare Alley, The Power of the Dog, Tragedy of Macbeth, and West Side Story.
Ooh.
Ugh, right?
That's a strong one.
There's four really good contenders in
that. That's really hard. That's oof. Yeah.
My heart says for me, it's between... no, Dune is still my pick, I think.
I think my pick would have to be The Tragedy of Macbeth, only because it's so creatively different and original from basically anything else I've ever seen on film. And it was able to do the crossover of the like theater, the line of theater and film, and like marry it together really well. To where like a lot of the sets, you know, all because it was all soundstage, so like the sets mm-hmm. were very thoughtfully executed.
I would say the Macbeth as well, just because I don't think it'll win anything else, so I wanted to win something. But yes, co-signing everything you said, Joy, but also because I won't win anything else.
My tears for Macbeth are literally
Same.
Fucking rude.
Okay, next one.
Costume design.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Beautiful. I'm going to steal that dress from Kate Blanchett.
It's against Cruella, Cyrano, Dune, and West Side Story.
Oh, guys, I want to watch Cyrano, and I haven't watched it.
The costumes in Cruella, Joy.
They were the best part of the movie.
Okay.
Which is not saying much, because Emma Stone is not it. God, I cannot talk enough about how shitty she is in that movie.
Really?
I still haven't finished it to this day.
Costumes, I don't know, that's hard, because I really liked costumes in Dune. I thought they were so interesting.
Mm-hmm. The reason why I'm leaning towards Dune again is because they had to create so much.
Right.
From, like, nothing. I mean, obviously there was the novel, but... They had to create different army looks for the different armies, looks for the different I feel like there was just more to do on Dune, and I think they did it perfectly.
With Cruella though, like everything is so like there's that period of time, that period of fashion is so rich and it's so detailed. It wasn't just like, you know, basic sheath dress and like a slip dress and whatever. It was like all these heavily constructed pieces, like really embroidered jackets and like 1,000 seams on a coat, and like of like taffeta skirts, and like it was just it was really, really well done.
What time period is Cruella in?
It's in the 70s. And so it's like it takes inspiration from like that time period, but it also, because it's in the UK, it also like is heavily influenced by like Alexander McQueen, who's like peak UK designer. So it's just like visually, I was just like, I'm glad I have this to soothe my eyeballs because I really don't care to pay attention to the rest of it. That and Emma Thompson. Emma Thompson as a villain, fabulous.
Emma Thompson is amazing. I love her.
She is.
Great.
And what was the next one? The last one?
Cinematography.
Ooh, my category.
So Dune, Nightmare Alley, Power of the Dog, Tragedy of Macbeth, and West Side Story.
I am on a three-way tie still. But Nightmare Alley is not one of the three, actually.
Yeah, me neither. It was nice. It had good moments, but compared to the rest, no.
Mm-mm.
Still a stacked category.
Yeah.
For sure.
Feast for the eyes, sure. For sure. Yeah.
I'm like, it's a three-way tie. It's a three-way tie.
Although I'm kind of pulling for Macbeth just because, again, it's not going to win anything. And I really want to do it something, damn it.
I think at the end of the day, I probably will go with Macbeth. And like, if I rank, okay, so for me, Nightmare Alley at the bottom, or no, Power of the Dog at the bottom, then Nightmare Alley. Honestly, those two I could switch, whatever, who cares? Top three are the more important things. I think three is Dune. I think West Side Story is two, and I think Macbeth is one. Only because, again, so innovative, so creative, so particular to a certain like visual story, like direction, amazing, and like the cinematography is a big part of that, and the like what they did with it and like how it was done, and just like because everything is on a set, you have to create all this light. None of this light naturally exists, which is so hard to do. Like that's something that takes a lot of study, and it just looks, every fucking shot is flawless,
and it, I'm still pissed. It looks like they filmed it in Kim and Kanye's house.
That's why it should win. Yep.
That's what I mean, I think it's beautiful. But as I was watching, I was like, it's like Kim and Kanye's house.
It's funny because when Anna told me that, I was like, what the hell? I had no idea what their house looked like. So Anna knows more about them than I do. So there you go. Again, oh, crazy man. World we live in.
Only because I love Architectural Digest.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was Nightmare Alley.
We got to rank it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, my bad. Sorry.
Somebody's getting notifications.
Not me.
I can hear the doo-doo-doo.
Oh, it sounds like a non-Apple sound.
Is it me? I don't know.
Could it be? Is it she?
Okay, who wants to go first?
I'll go first since I got it set up already.
Oh, joy. Okay.
So prepared.
Okay. On the bottom is Don't Look Up for obvious reasons. And then it's Licorice Pizza. And then Belfast. Belfast I put before Licorice Pizza. Not because of the story, because both of the stories, whatever. But Belfast visually, cinematography-wise, was better. So that goes first. Nightmare Alley is in the middle, which is kind of how I felt of Shape of Water. So it's very much like another one of these. Then King Richard, then the top three, swap them, whatever, who cares what order. Drive My Car, I'm gonna go Dune, and then Coda. All right, who's next?
I'll go.
Okay.
Bottom, Don't Look Up, seven, Belfast, Licorice Pizza, then King Richard, then Nightmare Alley, then Dune, Coda, Drive My Car.
Nice.
Sorry, I thought I had it here. Oh, there it is. Okay. So in the bottom, it's Don't Look Up, surprising everyone. Licorice Pizza, if you heard that episode, you know why. Then I'm going to have Belfast, and then Nightmare Alley, because to me, Nightmare Alley was prettier to look at than Belfast. Oh, was it Cate Blanchett, wasn't it? Then King Richard, Drive My Car, Coda, and then Dune.
Ah! Yeah. We're very similar, but there's just like flip-floppies. Yeah.
And we still like we have two more to go, right?
Yep.
We only have two left? Yeah! Hell yeah, I can finally fucking rewatch West Side Story.
I'm so excited to rewatch it.
Me Same. Too.
Spoilers, I don't think I'm going to rewatch the other one, but I definitely will rewatch West Side Story.
I think I'm going to do it just because I need to focus a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And there's some things that I've seen in reviews in particular that it's important to rewatch for. So. All right. That was what did we just talk about? Nightmare Alley?
Nightmare Alley.
I was going to say, the 10 Things I Hate About You? What is it called? What the hell?
The Taming of the Shrew?
No. I'm thinking of Ending Things.
Oh. Yep. The same movie.
We got there.
Oh, man.
I don't know where I got Taming of the Shrew from. That was like out of nowhere.
The Taming of the Shrew was
10 Things I Hate About You.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you were correct.
But yeah, Nightmare Alley. So
two more episodes.
Three
more, because we're gonna do a special third one about everything that we didn't get to talk about.
Bonus.
And then we're gonna record the night of the Oscars. So you got four more episodes in this series.
Yeah.
We're excited.
Yeah, we are.
So stay tuned. Bye.
Bye.